Can't mispronounce ukulele with a guy from Hawaii on the chat. Serious. Ukulele.
It's the ukulele.
Do you know what? What gets
there
me?
There you go.
You get me. Is this, you're my big fat Greek wedding. That's Doc. It's like, see, this word, Hawaiian word. But you got Windex.
It is Hawaiian. It means jump and flee in Hawaiian.
No,
because
it's
the Portuguese
just like
brought
every
guitars
word.
And gave them to them.
You pick us up on every freaking word.
Jacked up, untuned guitars, and that's the word they came up with. It sounded like a jumping flute.
You're a word pedant.
Yes.
Anyway, don't spoil Greeny's thunder. And he's on his game.
I wouldn't call it thunder. In no way would I call it thunder.
Is Greeny going to play Greeny sleeves? No.
Greeny sleeves.
On his ukulele. Is it ukulele?
Ooh.
Ukulele.
You know, like, ooh, ukulele. There you go.
Ukulele. All right, okay.
Shh.
Ready?
Hang on. Hang on. No, wait, for f***'s sake.
What I just said, are you ready?
No, I'm the director. It's my show, love. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, okay, tell me when you're ready, then.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will Green.
Right.
That was your f***ing cue, you I can edit. I can edit. Yeah. You ready? Ladies and gentlemen. Will Green.
Right. Shut up. This is good. So far. I don't drink. Oh, pause it for a second.
You are joking, mate. I'm not f***ing in this. This is gold.
No, hold on. Let me come on. Oh, it's taking me ages to do this. Right. Let me just grab Sting for a second.
Is he there? That would help a lot.
Yeah, I know. It would, wouldn't it?
Because at the moment, if I close my eyes, I think it's Will Green.
I know. Well, I'm doing my best. Right, Englishman, New York.
Good thing he had a set list prepared.
Are you watching the YouTube video on how to play it on the ukulele? excuse me, Will, but I just did. I had some perception in my mind that you were actually prepared. When you said, can I play the ukulele at the start
right,
of the show tomorrow?
Shut up for a second. Right.
Oof. So far, mate, you've done all but be quiet, so...
Sounds a bit out of tune, but we'll go with it. I don't drink coffee. I take tea, my dear.
I like my toast on
I like my toast on one side. You can see it in my accent. Actually, hear it. My accent when I talk, because I'm on... Englishman in New York. Oh, York. Whoa. Oh, I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. I'm an Englishman in New York. Whoa. I'm an alien. I'm a legal. Oh, Christ. Wrong. I'm a legal alien. I'm an Englishman in New York.
Hey, congratulations. Hey. Hold on, hold on.
I think that's all right for a couple of hours, isn't it? I never played the ukulele before.
I've got to say, I remember it a little different.
Well, that's my version, and I was quite pleased with it.
Congratulations. Well done. So he's, just to clarify for those that have come late, that's Greeny's rendition of Englishman in New York, based on he's been learning the ukulele for nearly a whole day. So,
no, 2 hours.
Oh, 2 hours. I thought it was a whole day because he asked me yesterday, so I figured he got it yesterday. I didn't realise you were going to ask me when you didn't even know that you could play it at all.
Well, I think, to be fair, I still can't play it, but I'm giving it a good shot.
No, I recognise the chords, and the singing was good. If I'd have closed my eyes, it was Sting. No. Grinny's voice is very reminiscent of Sting, I do have to say, because I've heard him play. What have I heard you play on the piano?
Oh, I've done that a few times.
You played on the guitar, didn't you? You played, was it Fields of Gold or something like that?
Fragile. I'm quite fragile, good at Fragile.
And the voice is very reminiscent of Sting. So well done. Hello, welcome to the Max Show.
What a great opening.
That's the best 5 minutes of the start of a show we've ever had. A seminal BTN moment. And we've had a few of late, I have to say. That will be available in your iTunes account, whether you like it or not, at the end of the show. So.
Yes.
Make the most.
Tim Cook will push it on every single device.
When he hears that, mate, because Tim listens, when he hears that, mate, you're signed up, pal. You'll be on Beats. Yeah. You'll be on... I'll tell you what you could be doing. You could be doing carpool karaoke with your ukulele. And Doc will be very happy then. The Week in Mac, what's going on? What's been happening? Joining me, the usual panel of absolutely stellar celebrity Mac journalists. But they couldn't come. So... top left, Doc Rock, how you doing, brother?
Oh god, this is killing me. Thank you guys for waking me up so early for this. It's pretty hilarious.
Pleasure, man.
You've pretty much set the tone for my Friday. It will require lots of bourbon
later on. What, to get that out of your head?
No,
I'm gonna start right now. I don't care. 6 a.m. I'm going to put a splash in this coffee right here and set my brain straight.
No, that's an earworm you don't need, isn't it? Englishman in New York all day.
Amazing.
Next to him, it's Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, mate. Now, I don't want to say too much, but you had a bit of an emergency potentially ahead of the show, but it's obviously resolved.
It wasn't as big an emergency as the asterisk emergency asterisk text would have alluded to.
Okay. Or was it, he was like, oh no, the wheels come off.
Emergency in that I need to deal with it at some time today. Okay. It didn't have to happen this minute.
I thought it was one of those things that it's just like, you're the consummate professional. Your customer comes to you panicking and you're just like, calm down, I got this. And you fix it in 20 seconds and then charge him for 4 hours.
Real quick story for those people who are out there who are like freelancers like me and work with clients. One of the best talks that I ever went to was a guy who said, when he gets urgent texts or emails from a client, that's when he walks away from his computer, finds his kid, goes out and plays ball, does anything other than respond to the client. And it's made his life infinitely better. And I've sort of followed that advice because clients tend to think things are really urgent when they're not. And of course, it's going to depend on what your career is. If you're a doctor and it says urgent, yes, rush to the scene. Yeah. But if you're like me and you're a programmer and a web developer and someone's site is down and that's what's urgent, you know, the world's not coming to an end. No. And everybody has a lot less stress. And a lot of the times what you find out is that it's not as urgent as the client is sort of alluding to. And everybody can just relax. And then things get done actually more efficiently and more calmly and usually done better. So
A deep pan in the chat room says he's got one of his friends who works at Guantanamo Bay on the phone. They're asking if they can have that Greeny rendition on a 15-hour loop.
I can do it. I can do that.
Nice.
Well, I thought it wasn't too bad, personally.
We're just taking the piss, mate. It was awesome. Next to him, dialing in from the desert.
Yes.
From all the way from Phoenix. He's got into the office early so he can get away with it. Patrice, mate, we missed you last week.
Yeah, unfortunately, last week I couldn't join. Sorry about the audio. Somehow I forgot my HomePods at the apartment, and this one seems to be broken. So you're using the
microphone. Oh, right, Padlock.
Yeah,
Padlock.
Really sorry about that. Yeah, I mean, I actually came in late this morning, so this was actually a really nice start of the Friday, because, I mean, last 2 weeks, basically, most mornings have started at 7 a.m.
I did work for an American firm years ago, and they were obsessed with getting in at 6 o'clock in the morning, but they all stood around drinking coffee for 3 hours. They didn't do sod all anyway. It was just that they had to seem to be showing up early. That was all.
Yep.
And then if it was someone's traffic. If it was someone's, well, yeah, true. But if it was for someone's birthday, they turned up with donuts as well, and that was it. You didn't get anything out of them until midday.
So, yep.
That's Patrice having trouble connecting, though, but he'll be back soon. Next to him, hey, Mr. Rickard. You're on mute, dude.
I do technology.
Don't worry, mate. I can edit.
Oh, we're all trained professionals, aren't we? Yes, bonsoir. How are we? Yes, I've been renovating all week. I'm a little bit tired, but hopefully when my wife returns, she'll see the fruits of my labor and I'll...
Mate, you're totally going to get laid with the stuff that you've done this week. Totally.
Well, I've done everything. Everything from plastering to sandblasting, using shot. It took me out twice. Been painting beams, and it's been really tiring, but... It looks good. I can't wait for it to come home and see it all done.
Now, you say you've been plastering, but can you plaster?
No. What's good about being in the French house is no French people can actually plaster.
So you've got the Englishman in New York version of plastering on your walls.
Wait,
I'm not saying it's a fan, but it's kind of a...
Can I ask an American question? Just because I honestly don't know. When you guys say plaster, do you really mean plaster, or is like plaster like drywall?
No, so do you skim your drywall after you've erected it?
Yes. But we drywall with mud. I think plaster here is illegal at this point or something like that.
It can't be illegal because there's nothing wrong with it. It's just silicate dust that you just put into water and then it becomes a paste that you then smear on the wall.
Just right, to give so you a smooth finish. The nomenclature for plaster for us has changed. It's basically drywall mud.
Yeah.
It used to be called plaster when I was a kid, but if I remember when we were kids, plaster had iron or lead, not iron, had lead in it, so nobody called it. But it's funny that French people can't plaster because in the U.S. it's called plaster of Paris.
No, so plaster of Paris is for molding.
For molds and stuff.
Yeah. Right,
molds.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, so here, I mean, typically here, typical drywall goes up is you throw up the drywall, you tape the seam, you mud or quote unquote plaster the seam, and then usually they spray on a texture and then you paint it. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no plaster. Like you covered the whole wall in a plaster material.
Mud, yeah. Yeah. So you've got to bear in mind as well that in terms of the story of the three little pigs, you know, the one made of straw, the one made of wood, the one made of brick, we're the third pig. You're the second pig. That's the difference.
Yep, we are pretty much. Yep, that's us.
Which is ironic for a country that has so many tornadoes. I'll build my house out of wood. Squeak, squeak, yep. And the wolf tornado comes
twigs
through.
Twigs and
yeah. At least you've got away from the straw ones. And last, but by no means.
Hawaii.
Oh, you still do mud and straw, right? Cool.
It's called a grass hut.
And last, but by no means least, our ukulele ninja.
Oh yes.
Are you hoping that you could go pro with this?
Really? I think so. I think I could do it. I think I could go pro with it. I mean, after 2 hours, it's not bad, is it?
No, it's remarkable. I'm not taking the piss now. That was for 2 hours. That was an excellent repetitive chord sequence.
It's quite good. I did choose it because it uses the sort of same four chords for pretty much all of the song. So that's
now. Did
that's
you see good. The alternate lyrics that Storm Gorelli put on Twitter?
No.
So go on. If manners maketh man, as someone said, he's the Will Green of the day. It takes a man to suffer British Mac and smile. Be yourself, no matter what they say. I love British Mac. I legally love British Mac. I'm an Englishman in New York.
Well, that's a very charming and lovely thing to see. So, that's good.
Well, I just thought the line "It takes a man to suffer British mac and smile" is a bit of an insult, but the rest is beautiful.
Well, I don't know. Yes, the rest is beautiful, and I suppose the whole point of British mac is to make people smile. So. If he wrote that, then it may have made him smile a little bit, possibly.
Now, we've had a super blood eclipsing moon thing this week. Has there been a British Mac come out or not?
Yes. We did it, or I did it. There's no we. It was last night. It was a blue moon. A red moon.
Blood moon, yeah.
And
a super moon at the same time. And it was
super moon, yeah. And any other type of moon you want to talk about. I think we talked about last week, didn't we?
Well, at least you stuck to your timetable, mate. Well done.
Yes, well, I always try and knock out a British Mac on a full moon. And so I did it, and there it is.
Excellent, mate.
And it was good. I enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
Cool. The week in Apple. I don't want to spend too much time talking about the old HomePod because it's not here yet. But you've all been charged today. What one we leave? Is that right? Has everyone been charged? That's ordered.
I cancel mine
for a while.
Yeah. Apparently, there's an awful lot of these going to be available on launch day.
Yeah.
You can still order now and get it in time. So,
We need to talk about that, actually.
Oh, feel free. Away you go.
Well, I have mine scheduled for pickup, and I believe the show is like right at the time when the Apple Store opens.
So you can pick up today? Because
next week.
Yeah, we're 5 o'clock because we've got Batwinch coming up, and I've got to go to a funeral at 12, so we're going to be an hour later. Are you struggling, or are you going to do a live line? Thing
alive,
not going to be much of a line. Is there going to be a line at the store at all?
No, there's not going to be a line at the store. I just expect to walk in, but are we doing the show? Are we doing the show normal time next week?
No, it's an hour later. Nope. We're at 5 o'clock UK time, so
maybe I'll have it by then.
So you'll be home,
the store's not far away.
See, the one thing that I'm not going to criticize it because I haven't heard it, but I think that's a to raise is the fact that there's an awful lot of people who are going to be getting this thing who've never heard it. They still haven't heard it. And there's an awful lot of people when they go in a store, and I'm still in my own mind, I cannot figure out how Apple is going to demonstrate this product for people to want to have it in a store where you've got so many different people, and people are going to want to crank this thing up to stupid volumes to see what it sounds like.
Well, they have a 14-day return policy.
And also, I would say when we were in the store, you know, people were coming to listen to the Pete's Bill, the pill by Beats, and they would still walk out with it. Also, the SoundLink by Bose, they'd come in, they'd crank it up, and then they'd walk out with it. So people do come into Apple Store, do press play on a speaker and do stand there listening and make a judgment call there and then.
Here's the best part about what you just said. Anybody that listens to a Beats pill or a Bose SoundLink and goes, oh, yeah, let me take that home, they're idiots, so we're good.
That's the thing I was going to say. People don't know what Bose SoundLink is.
Oh, my God, Beats Pill sounds so horrible. But I will say, so far, the preliminary people, and again, this is so, you know, subjective, it's really hard to put your money on it, but all the preliminary people say it sounds incredible, and that will be the thing that pushes it. Is the sound is really, really good in comparison to everything that's out. The one that's kind of messing with me right now, because I still want to get it to try it, but what's messing with me is I have Apple Music, iTunes, iCloud, Beats, you know, podcasts, and then we get down to AirPlay. AirPlay does things to audio that I'm not a fan of. So, like, my good sources, like, you know, say possibly coming from Plex where I have everything in FLAC and then have my encoder cranked up to the highest because it's only moving across the living room. Like, is it going to crush that, you know? And is it going to be a pain opening the Plex app, switching it to AirPlay mode, or, you know, like, I just don't get
how I'm going to get good quality audio out of it other than just using Apple Music. And I have my iTunes library in Apple Music, but there's things that I don't have because I like to hear them in good quality. My 80s music is all in FLAC and plays over this tube amp right here. You know, I just don't know what to do with that.
Well, you're not going to do it because you've got your tube amp. That's the point.
Yep. Yeah. You know, so yeah, basically I come down here to listen instead of in the house too, because when I start cranking like old 70s and 80s rock, I get this look like.
So I just want to make clear, my perception is, or my understanding is, that the HomePod will play FLAC natively.
It will.
Really? Yeah,
that's correct.
Yes.
Oh,
so I didn't see if that. If the speaker quality is good enough, then you're laughing.
Oh God!
Yeah,
dang it! I was really good at saying I'll wait for season two.
Here's the thing on the FLAC: you'll have to AirPlay it, and you're probably gonna have to wait until they add AirPlay 2 support to get enough bandwidth through it. But it,
there you go.
It can decode and play FLAC, or
unless they've got some super shiz going on with compression, decompression, and transmit. Who knows?
Well, they have an A8 processor. I mean,
yeah, they can certainly do it.
I'm not sure this is a bandwidth issue. I think this is some audio codec. Does the HomePod even support FLAC?
Sounds like German.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. Say it again, Patrice.
I was asking whether the HomePod even supports FLAC.
Yeah, it does. It plays it natively. Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I'm saying I'm sure it does.
You are correct.
I am correct. Right. Good. That's the first on this show, isn't it? Me actually knowing something technical about Apple. Bloody hell. World's ending tomorrow, boys. I mean, I like the idea of there's people saying it's a good speaker who've heard it. So that's a good start, but I'm worried.
A lot of people.
Well, I watched a side-by-side test this week, and they did it against the Play 1, and I'm just like, that's not a test. If you're going to put this down, you've got to put it down against the Play 3 and stand on its own. And if it beats a Play 3, hats off. Well done. That's a good kit then. But if it stands up against a Play 5, well...
Mate, I'll buy one.
Well, no, if it stands up... here's the interesting thing, is that... I'm invested in Sonos, and I've got me nice Sonos speakers here, but I really would love a Play 5 or a couple of Play 5s at home. So if this thing is as good to the ear as a Play 5, then all of a sudden that's a game changer for what this device is, because it's no longer competing against speakers which are as good as and half the price. It's now competing against speakers which are it's better than and are twice the price.
Well, the Play 3 is a fair comparison because there's only a $50 difference, correct? Isn't a Play 3 $299?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think if you compare
it to the Play 3. But if it could beat the 5, that's even better because that's a double up.
Well, that's where I'm changing my mind. That's where my floating voter bit comes in. That if someone says this is easily as good as a Play 5 and I listen to it and I think it's as good as a Play 5, then holy shit, I'm buying two or three of those as opposed to buying one Play 5.
Well, you know where they're going to get it, possibly in retail outlets here, especially the, you know, sort of higher end fashion places. I know you guys don't hang out at, but a lot of people have Play 3s, you know, like in four corners of a haberdashery, and they're playing, you know, music that makes you want to buy more clothes. So if it works, maybe not even just the home people, but a lot of the retail people, small restaurant cafes, you know, little avocado toast type hipster joints, they'll probably have these in order to violate their BMI and ASCAP at a better clip.
The only thing that, because this is a 360 speaker, isn't it, as well? This has got sound coming out from all around it, like the Echo has. So in terms of, if you're really going to fit these commercially, do you think you can mount these upside down on the ceiling and then get the benefit of that 360 sound?
Wow, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that would be tricky.
That would be a super good
trick.
And I mean, the thing is as well, I mean, the one thing I've learned from doing stuff with fit out in industry is that if you look at sound systems when they're put into bars and that kind of stuff, they've changed this idea of having two big bass amps that are really kind of cranking it out, because whoever sits next to them has liver failure from the frequencies, and whoever's far away is going, can you turn it up a bit, mate? it's about putting lots and lots of good quality small systems in that reproduce the local sound rather than producing a single big sound that tries to saturate. So commercially, there could be an opportunity for the HomePod to be fitted, in bars and wines and restaurants, etc., and have sort of 10 of them on a wall across a, 100-foot long room or something like that. And you could put them in a line down the center because you're going to get benefit all the way across the room then.
Mm. That would be a trick right there. Like have a low-hanging, not low-hanging, but a sub.
Oh, Jesus, you could hang them like a lamp.
And have a bunch straight across. Or like you said, build a round circle. Like, you know those movies where the senators, like kind of like in Star Wars, you're all sitting around in a big circle and yelling at something. It'd be dope to have it hanging, have a big overhead ring with like 10 of them in a ring and then just blasting this lovely sound around. It's like cone of silence in the middle type thing, but it'd be cone of excellence.
It'd be cool. And when the bass notes come in, you can feel your liver vibrating in sympathy.
Normally that's coming from the bourbon, but yeah.
Yeah. So we're not buying 10 then?
Not yet.
It's actually cheap. If you compare it to what I used to sell Bowers and Wilkins for, 10 would be much cheaper. The Bowers and Wilkins run at $1,500 a clip.
Yeah. I want to see someone do a side-by-side test with a Sonos 5. And then I'm going to be impressed.
I would be shocked. Yeah. I think it'll hold its own against a Sonos 3. If it beats a Sonos 5 or even holds its own against a Sonos 5, I think that would be pretty impressive. I agree. I don't know that would be the case. But it'd be awesome. I'm curious, though. I want to know. So, James, why did you cancel your order?
Yeah, well, I think because my wife's away and I only had my Sonos Play 5 in December. I actually got to sit quietly for a few moments and actually crank that bad boy right up. I just sat there absolutely blown away by it. I don't think I've put Sonos Play 5 through any paces. And I read it out. I whacked it straight up and I went through all these tracks and went, why am I getting a HomePod again? I know it's got an Apple badge okay. on it, but
fair enough. I was
kind of just like, I'm kind of not, I don't need it. I don't need it. And I think it's that thing, which is what you were saying about, nobody's actually heard it yet. We're all buying it on the whim. And actually, I think if I go into a room and I hear one, I might want it then. But at the moment, Play 5 is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Sonos is really also offering a lot of the things that the HomePod is. I mean, let's be fair there. Other than Siri, I think can do everything you do with your HomePod also on Sonos.
Well, here's the thing, too, that I think a lot of people are forgetting, because from Apple's perspective, I don't think they care about what Sonos is doing. I don't think they care about what Amazon is doing or Google is doing. And we can have a separate conversation, and we might have brought this up last week, about whether that's smart for them to do or not. But the reality with the HomePod is I see it really as a targeted consumer product, and it's really just targeted at people who are all in on Apple. And those are the people that are going to be buying it. If you have anything else, like we've had this conversation in the Slack, in the BTN Slack, if you're in on Sonos, Sonos is awesome. And there's no reason to move away from Sonos to a HomePod if you really love it. And I think, James, that, that's kind of a great point that you made is, I listened to it and I really decided I have what I need. Sonos speakers are great. They integrate, well with Alexa. And if you're in on Alexa and all that stuff, great. But if you don't have anything right now and you haven't jumped in and you're all in on Apple stuff, your Apple Music all the way and iCloud all the way and only Macs and that stuff, I think the HomePod's going to be a really great product for that consumer. And I think that's really who Apple is targeting. They're targeting the consumer that has, some cheap Bluetooth speaker and is ready to maybe step up to something that is better.
Absolutely. I mean, you made the point that I was trying to make way, way clearer.
I've been accused of being negative at times. And last week when I just said, I'm not everyone because they can't be what I've currently got and I wouldn't tell the difference, so what's the point in having it?
Yeah.
I thought to myself, all right, what would make me buy it? What would make me go, holy shit, I'm having it? And it was the test against the Play 1 that made me think, no, test it against a 5 and I might be tempted now because I would love a 5. but I just refuse to pay the money on it. So if you're telling me that you can do 5 quality for $200 less, yeah, all right, maybe you're interested there. That might be pretty
now,
cool.
Now, again, are they testing it? Every test that I've seen is against a Sonos one, not a Play one.
Yeah,
and Sonos
sorry,
one is the second week, generation yeah. of the Play one. And I believe it's better, right? That the Sonos one is better audio quality than the Play one?
Yes, supposedly, okay. But I'm not sure I could tell the difference, but...
Yeah. Well, I can't. I mean, see, my thing is I'm going to love the HomePod because I'm in that group of consumers that I'm not an audiophile, and you could probably could put all three of these, you know, you could put all these in a room up against each other, and I don't know that I would be able to tell that much of a difference. You know, I have a Sonos system. I have a Sonos system, just real quick. I have a Sonos system, but, you know, it's tied to my living room. It's my surround sound. I have a sound bar, the sub, and two Play ones for the rear channels. And so that's not moving. So I'm very excited and interested in the HomePod because it's probably just going to go in my office and it's going to be my office, you know, my office speaker. And I'm really only interested in probably getting one. Maybe I'll get more at some point to move to other places in the house, but you know, my living room system is still going to just be the Sonos.
So at the moment the Sonos Play 5 is £500 on Amazon. What's the retail price in sterling, James? You know,
I think it's £520. I think
no, the HomePod.
Oh, £319. I think
£319. Okay, so I'm buying two HomePods for one Play 5 plus a little. That's not bad. That would really make me think twice. Because James was that he got his Play 5 for £400 because it's on offer on Amazon. And at £400, I've got to say, I'd probably be sorely tempted as well. And I'd have to probably sleep in the garage afterwards because the wife would be pissed off at me. But,
Oh, mate, I can't tell you a story that I actually got it back from the UK in the car. I then waited for my wife to go out while we was back in France. I took it out of the box, put it on the side. When she got back from shopping, she went, "What's that?" And I went, "I've always had it."
It's like a new set of shoes. I've had them for ages.
Yeah, it didn't work. She just didn't talk to me for about 2 hours, but that's fine. I've still got it.
I am a bit of an audiophile, and I'd like to sort of chime in slightly at this point.
Please.
That I think everybody on the panel is post 40, aren't we?
Patrice isn't, but yeah, the rest are.
Right. So, even Patrice, it's so the older you get, the less the frequency range of your hearing can take, or not take, but respond to, I suppose. So it doesn't really matter.
It's called presbycusis.
Ah, brilliant.
Presbycusis. So you lose 20, you can hear from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. And from about the age of 18, 19 onwards, you start to lose the 20 kilohertz mark and it slowly depletes. Women are about 20 years behind us, so you don't lose the 20 kilohertz mark till they're nearly 40. And you start to get a deviation, a gradual deviation and an attenuation of your ability to hear it. 20 kilohertz down to about 12 kilohertz. And by the time you're into your 80s, you haven't heard anything above 15 kilohertz probably.
So is there any point in all this? You know, you spend this money on these high quality speakers, but if we can only sort of hear a certain frequency range, what's the point for us old guys?
And then you're like me and you listen to podcasts on it, so you don't even really use them.
Yeah, fair point. So there you go, Bellas. There's only the grave left.
Yeah.
Thanks, Greeny.
We can buy these fancy stuff, this expensive fancy stuff, but if we can't hear it, it doesn't really make that much difference.
Okay, in the conversation of audiophile, the number 350 does not count as expensive. I have cables that cost more than that, so you can't call it expensive if you want to call it autophilia. But your point is well taken.
No, Doc, you've got it wrong, mate. Autophilia is when you want to jerk off over something because it's really good. It's not because it's expensive. The price is nothing.
Well, that's called wineburgery.
It's when you get that sound and it comes out and you go, oh, and you get a rush of blood to your testicles and your groin and that's it, then you're just like, that's autophilia. Yeah. It's wanting to bugger the woofer slot in your speaker. That's all.
Oh, God.
It's not. You've got the wrong thing, mate. When you're talking about, like, you see a big price tag and you get a rush in your groin, that's a different failure.
Yeah.
I mean, as in, that's a different type of failure, not it's called a different failure.
A different failure.
I've got a different failure.
What I was going to say, what is funny is, you know, to hear you guys talk about, oh, I have to sneak this in because of the misses or this or that. I always thought it was funny because they all do it. And I swear to God, they're just trained to react to stuff that we buy. But in the same token, our haircut costs, what, $10? And their haircut costs like $200-$300. And they got to get it just as often as we do. My haircut's free because I just do it myself. But it's funny, like, you can buy anything. And any male in any relationship with a woman for more than X number of years, he always sneaking stuff in the house because the wife's going to get mad or the old lady gets mad. But their shoes and their haircuts cost 10 times as much, and they always buy it, but yet they always complain when we buy, like, extra.
I don't get that either. My wife's got short, but I don't know what that's got to do with autophilia.
I just started.
Will jacked the point. Anyway, no, that was why. Will jacked the point to say nothing. That was why.
I thought that was going to be a really short conversation. I got loads out of that. We can take the pressure off now. I'm not spinning for time.
Well, you just told us all that we're Presbyterian.
Oh, very good, mate. Very good. Apple Tim Cook says, and this is. I've not set that up then. That's, how many of these do you buy? Well, you need one, so you have to have another. I've had one. Okay. We're drinking, by the way, just for everyone's benefit. Tesco, alcohol-free gin and tonic.
Woo!
And holy hell, it's good. It's really good. It's really good. So there you go. That's why I'm exuberant, but I'm not pissed. Tim Cook says, one of our best listeners, iPhone 10 has been the top-selling iPhone every week since it shipped. Now then, I've got one source who's in front of me, and I've got another source who I've spoken to who works in an Apple store, and I'm going to call bollocks on that because the person that I spoke to said, very slow, not selling, and Muller has heard someone say, coming down £100 in price in the next couple of weeks because they're not selling. And you can do all the bullshit over the figures and massage the stuff that you've got in your accounts to say that something sold when it hasn't. But I'm telling you, if the staff that work in the shop are going, yeah, not going as fast as it was, mate, not going as fast as it should be at all, nothing like iPhone 7.
Well, I mean,
okay. not a defense, but I want you to process this thought, okay? So don't say, oh, you're just being a wanker defending them. The person in the store see what Sprint, AT&T, T-Mobile, and all the rest of the global carriers are buying.
Target,
they can't
Best
see that
Buy.
Whatsoever. Right? Oh, yeah, that's why all of them. They have no vision of that whatsoever. Also, the majority of us, I know myself, and I mean, I'm not even trying to speak from a personal standpoint. The majority of people that I know anecdotally bought their phone from their bevities sitting at a keyboard or with the other phone. So you can't see that in the store either. So yes, the retail fiasco does not exist because for whatever reason, Angela stopped that. And that used to be part of the fun. But there's no way you can stand at the shop, engage with anybody selling in any kind of retail environment because you just don't know unless only in the store is the way to buy it.
Also, you have to consider
why it's also the quarterly earnings that Apple announced yesterday, and the average selling price of the iPhone has gone up significantly, which speaks for people actually buying iPhone 10s instead of 8s. You have to factor that in as well.
You also have to remember that Tim Cook made that statement in that quarterly results call, and that he can't be making stuff up, because if he is, like, if that is not accurate and he's talking to investors, he's got a big problem. So what's the motivation for him to say something that wouldn't be true on an investor call?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, the one thing that I have to say about his statement is he could still be massaging numbers, because, I mean, you have to remember there's one iPhone 10, but there are, I mean, how many different types of other devices that they're still selling? I mean, the 8, the 8 Plus, the 7s, I think still probably the SE. So there are so many different other iPhone devices that it might as well be selling better than those individually.
So I totally get that. That's fine. But my point to Doc would be, if you had a global sales process, you'd have a global sales slowdown. You'd see it all out through all of those stores that there was less going out. You've got anecdotal stuff like the 10 has been available pretty much from the start. There's only been a couple of weeks where it was knocked back. And I don't believe for one second Apple over manufactured. And Tim's statement is perfectly correct. It's the top-selling iPhone every week, but that doesn't mean they're selling very many of them. He's trying to battle it. What I'm calling bollocks on is the fact that he's trying to battle this perception that the iPhone 10 is crap in terms of sales in general for all the phone launches that there's ever been. And he's trying to combat it with that, and that's not the right response because it's not.
You can't do that here. If you give a statement in your S10 that's wrong or your Q10 that's wrong,
the statement's true. The statement's true. But the problem is, Tim is doing it to try and make out that the sales of the 10 are really good, as in it's as good as any other iPhone. And that's not what his statement is saying. His statement is just saying, at the moment, of all the shit sales, it's not the shittiest.
Well, how is the sales
turning?
If you make 70 profits, shit sales. This is the disconnect that I don't get. Like, they're making money hand over fist. They're selling a lot of phones still. What are they? They're not having to defend anything, you know. Like that's the
because
thing.
Everybody like wants to see them fall. That's all there is.
And that's what's BS. If you want to talk about what's BS, is like analyzing the iPhone and saying that Apple's got a problem with iPhone. They don't. You know, it doesn't matter which model they sell. They're selling a ton of 8s. They're selling a ton of 8 pluses. They're selling a ton of 10s, and they're making crud tons of money.
So here's a funny story. Okay, not a funny story. Here's just an absolutely facetious anecdote, but it hammers the point. It says that they sold 77.3 million iPhones compared to 78.3 million iPhones a year ago. For whatever reason, at this biggest quarter ever number, if they could sell two phones for that price, it's still the same big quarter. It doesn't matter how many they sell. They're still profitable AF. But the reason is everybody, analysts, they want to be the person that called the demise. They want to be the person that released the report that says Apple tank. So they all shoot that way. And just as well, 50% of them do the opposite, the bulls. They say Apple's going to hit this number, and they shoot that way. And everybody's just hoping they're right one day so they can brag and say that they did it. And truth be told, all of the analyst stuff is basically stupid.
I mean, the reality is they beat the analyst estimates on, you know, both the, you know, on both the big numbers. So, you know,
I'm curmudgeon-y. I just hate the fact that this analyst thing is always a call every year. And all that really matters is, and this is probably more true, if someone like Ewan or James or Patrice bought a phone and, you know,
what about me?
Highly recommend, because you have a BlackBerry, highly recommended, you know, tech guys, and it was just a horrible experience. And then they had, you know, a really good conversation, like when Dalrymple had a problem with his iTunes. Those are probably more effectively real to someone like us than cares what Menchie Kuo or, you know, such a Nutella or whoever else had to say about it. Real life experience and real people matters. God. Analysts and financial crap, who cares?
Real. Can I? Oh my God.
Let's talk about facts a little bit.
Go on.
So
it's not
Apple downgraded by BMO this week. So disappointing iPhone demand will force Apple to lower its expectations, said the Wall Street firm. And it's also, so BMO has lowered its ratings for Apple shares to market perform from outperform on Wednesday, predicting weaker than expected sales for the company's March quarter. So,
that's Wall Street type people betting on making or losing money on their, I mean, for themselves. That's so transparent at this point that, I mean, I don't give two shits about, sorry about that, but I mean, I don't give two shits about those kinds of statements.
Okay. Their quote is, there has been much in the press about order cuts for the iPhone X, and we believe weaker mix in quarter one will push estimates lower for March and beyond. This is analyst Tim Long. We expect meaningful guide lower when the company reports on Thursday. So when you hear this, we should know, on the order of 5 to 6 billion compared to consensus revenue estimates. I'm not entirely sure what the last bit means, but I think it's fair to say that the iPhone X has, its sales has not been what Apple estimated, well, hoped it would be.
How do you know that? How can you say that?
Do
you
exactly. Know how do you know that?
Well, stop. Before everyone jumps down Grinny's throat, he's right. Saying he feels. That's his own opinion. You can't say he's right or wrong because he's not saying he's right or wrong. He's saying his opinion. Okay, so just calm down.
I don't want to jump down.
He's saying that's throat. Their opinions. I'm saying, well, how can anybody say that? That's the better statement. Not about you.
To Greedy's point, I mean, we've had the guidance from Apple. The guidance is actually very, very strong. I mean, they are estimating revenue between 60 and 62 billion this quarter, which is definitely a strong statement. So I don't think that is even close to true what you said.
Yeah, I can go anecdotal stuff and my opinion, and it's all I've got, but I don't think... I the reason I get upset like this and I say stuff, and there are people write to me and say that I'm an Apple hater, and I'm not. I'm saying it because I'm passionate about the Apple that I love, and I don't think the Apple that I love is the Apple that we currently have. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think they brought someone in to start and try and create an exclusivity to the brand who doesn't think logically about what their actions are that they're going to do in the long term for people who are ostensibly very, very brand loyal. I might be calling that Angela out wrong here, but I see this iPhone iteration and I saw the watch iteration that was higher and more expensive as an Angela special. She's the one that's been brought in to do this, and she's doing a job that they've asked her to do. I'm not going to slag her off for that, and she's good at her job. But I think it's like, you know, the Scully period of the fact that here's, we've got some beautifully crafted Macs, and he's like, no, we just need to do white goods like all the rest. All our computers should look like miniature washing machines, just like all the others should do. And it ultimately, over a long period of time, it unpicked the company. And I think there's a danger at this point that the company that I love is perhaps going to be damaged by the fact it is attempting to go down a path of exclusivity, which is ultimately going to harm it rather than cause the ongoing meltdown of success which Jobs had created, because actually what he provided was decently priced items that really generally did function and work. And that's what...
Hear, Ewan. Absolutely hear. I really, really sort of agree with your comments on that.
And my perception is based on the fact I go around and it's the number of iPhone 10s I don't see. When there's been launches, I've seen massive quantities of phones out there, and they're like, oh, wow, you've got, look. But, yeah. And it's the first one that you've seen in the wild and that kind of stuff. First iPhone 10 I saw in the wild was James's when I was sat with him at a dinner at a Greenies Bash, and that was it. That's unheard of. Unheard of.
So last
is that
year,
surprising, given that the phone is a more expensive phone than before?
I think you're agreeing with me. They've made a product.
Given that what?
They've made a product that's more expensive, that is perceived as being a bit of a gouge, and people aren't buying it. They're going, no, sorry, stick it up your ass. Oh, and by the way, your battery replacement program means I don't have to.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm seeing a lot of them, so I don't, I mean, maybe it is a retail thing, or maybe it is a, I mean, who you surround you with thing. I don't know.
I have traveled.
It's all anecdotal at this point.
I've traveled 2 to 3 days a week for the last 4 weeks on the tube. I haven't seen one iPhone 10.
I think you're reading it the wrong way. I really do. You know, you have to look at how many phones were available to purchase last year. New models. There were two. There's three this year. There is more choice this year. And you're absolutely right when you say there's a lot of consumers that aren't opting for the higher end one. And they're going with an 8. But those are still upgrades, and those are still phones that Apple is selling, and those are selling well also. So they've by their own actions, reduced the number of phones in any one line that they're going to sell, because they're now offering a whole separate model that's at a whole separate price point and sells to a whole different consumer. So they've divided those consumers up. So you have the person who jumped in and bought a Plus last year because that was their option. And now they have a new choice, and a lot of them are deciding, well, it's not worth the extra money. You're absolutely right there. But that doesn't, you can't make the leap to then, well, I don't see enough iPhone 10s in the wild, so therefore they're not selling well. I don't buy that.
You've just said that yourself. Did they release three phones, therefore the sales will be down on the higher end?
they're not down. They're divided amongst three models. Yeah,
so it's
that's
not selling.
And then, and the sales numbers they just announced are
when the iPhone 10 or right around when the iPhone 10 launched, there were reports that the iPhone 8 Plus was not selling at all. So, I mean, what does that tell you?
That the iPhone 8 Plus wasn't selling at all.
Yeah, and I mean, that means that also quite some people probably bought the iPhone 10 instead.
I've seen more iPhone 8s than I've seen iPhone 10 since launch.
Okay, so going to Adam's point, let's say they sold more iPhone 8s than iPhone 10s. Say they triple sold iPhone 8s than iPhone 10s. Does it really matter? They just said a legal statement that they have to be correct on. This is their biggest quarter yet. So really doesn't matter what they're selling. If they're still the biggest quarter yet, this exclusivity thing, which I completely understand, doesn't really matter. Also, I think it does have a lot to do with regionality because, for instance, anecdotally here in Honolulu, just on my bottom floor right here, in the end, there's 12 offices. There is an iPhone 10 in every person's hands in this wall, like in the end. So like, I can get what you're saying from what you see, but I can say just the opposite. I could call Tyson and have him come from next door and Curtis from next door and all the way down to Karen. Karen's the only person with an 8, and that's because she just didn't want a 10. You know, but it's so I'm saying it's easy to get wrapped around your ambient perception, but if they're still popping the biggest quarters, you know, every quarter they had a slip last year, which wasn't that big a slip, it kind of sort of doesn't matter. In the end, it's all, everybody wants to be right about their feelings. We're just adding to our feelings. I'm adding to my feeling. Adam is adding to his feeling. You're adding to your feeling. Reality is they're still selling more crap than anyone. So that's all that matters.
I do want to address two big headline points that I keep hearing thrown out by people when you get into conversations. I think this is important because Mueller threw a bunch of links in the chat if people want to check out all these stories. And you look at the headlines and it looks like doom and gloom, especially if you're an Apple fan or especially for people outside of the Apple ecosystem who don't know what's going on. And I just want to bring it up so that people can understand what is actually behind the headline, because a lot of people these days don't read past that. And so you're going to, as an Apple fan, get this stuff thrown at you. Two big things that people are freaking out about. One, you'll hear the people say, well, Apple's canceling the iPhone 10 this year. They're not continuing to sell the iPhone 10. Okay. The reality behind this piece of news is that all the rumors point to Apple bringing out three new models next year. They're going to actually add a larger version of the iPhone 10 and a 6.5-inch screen. They're going to continue to sell a 5.8 next version of iPhone 10, and we don't know if these are going to be called iPhone 10s. And then supposedly there's going to be a new 6.1-inch LCD model replacing the what would be the 8 and the 8 Plus right now. So there's still going to be three phones in the lineup. They're all getting updated. What is not happening is they're not keeping this generation of iPhone 10 around. They're replacing it with new models, which is what they've always done with the top-of-line phones for years and years. So there's no difference there.
But it's so quick. Adam, you've got to say, it's so quick for them to refresh the range. I think the iPhone 10 has been a failure.
Every year on schedule.
I don't want to dwell on this stuff too much. And then the second one is the big news this week is that Apple has cut production orders on the iPhone 10. So therefore, the iPhone 10 has not been selling well. You need to go back and look at the first quarter of every year. Apple ramps up production sales going into the launch of the new phone, and they do massive quantities. They also have multiple suppliers, so we don't know which suppliers this is coming from. But they always cut back production orders in this first quarter of the next year because they've ramped up so much that they have to pull back so that they get to a stasis point. So both of those things that people are throwing out there, they're throwing them out there to make the sensational headline. And, you know, most of the articles, if you read into it, will tell you exactly what I'm telling you. The problem is a lot of people don't read that. They hear the headline, you're going to get this thrown at you. So I just want to throw that out there so people understand what's behind this. And so they, when people throw this at you, you can at least have, you know, come from a place of knowledge, you know, and not just a Twitter headline that everybody's retweeting.
But surely, yeah, if you look at it, if so the next Apple announcement is sort of WWDC in June, and then traditionally we get new iPhone announcements in sort of September-ish. For them to sort of kill off production this early, that has to be a sort of acknowledgement of the failure of the iPhone X.
Absolutely not. I mean, they're not killing off production. They're ramping it down. And I mean, you have to remember, they have to ramp up production for the next, whatever the next iPhones are, very, very soon. So they have to start now ramping down, making space for whatever is coming next. And I think that also plays into it. Plus, I mean, what Adam said, Christmas quarter, usually they have to, I mean, ramp up production. Plus, they usually also, that's the quarter right after the launch. So a lot of people are still waiting for their phones. So this is a quarter where they are producing a lot of phones. And then at some point, you have to cut down. I mean, you cannot keep doing that. It's just not, doesn't make any sense.
Also, and here's something that's probably happening in every industry. I'm assuming in every industry right now, what happens is as the blogosphere got bigger and bigger and bigger, people started to find out that other people happen to like this kind of content. So what has happened is I'm going to just guess that the amount of the same type of story, good, bad, or indifferent, is volumized by people trying to maximize on click-through. So instead of hearing it from one or two sources like we used to hear, now everybody does it. And proof be told, go back a couple of years, you'd find macOS Ken talking about it, Adam talking about it, a couple other guys. Now there's about 700 Mac podcasts, and they all spew the same exact headlines with their own feeling. So it seems like the everybody is getting bigger, when it's not really. This all the same statement being passed along a little bit faster. So we have somewhat of a, not a fake fever, but we have a little bit more heightened fever now because the echo chamber is louder. Mm-hmm. And that's every industry. It's not just tech. I hear it in the auto blogs when I'm fighting about BMW crap. I hear it in the shoe blogs when we're fighting about Nike stuff. So yeah, it's just that it's just volumized to a level of craziness.
Yeah. I go back to, I'm not saying it's a shit product. I'm not saying that Apple's doomed. I'm just saying I'm worried that the company that I love is changing its ethos, and it's not good in the way that it's doing it.
And it smacks, I'll be 100% with you there. There's things that they've done over the last year that are, I think, are much more concerning than, you know, how many iPhone X have they sold?
Part of a bigger picture. But you've got the situation at the moment that the iPhone X top model is £100 more expensive than an entry-level iMac.
Yeah.
Stupid. Ridiculous. That's nonsensical.
And in ceramic in gold, you've been mad at them for that. And I think that true to form, once someone pisses you off in a certain way, it's hard for that to come back. And it will take a lot for them to win that part of your respect over again. And I respect that about you, that you hold your point that long. You know, that's okay thing. That first turn, I remember when it happened, plain as day, that chapter nuts the wrong way. And it's like it's never healed. And so now, whenever something even seems to be going that way, I feel that it bothers you more because you felt that way about not the ceramic, but the addition. You thought the addition was the dumbest shit since sliced bread. And ever since then, every time they do anything that seems like they're going that way, that tends to, it tends to bother you. And that's understandable.
I thank you for telling me I was right, Doc. And you defended that right. wildly. And I was right. Not even on sale anymore because it's so shit. The thing I was going to say was, in an age of austerity, the gouging of prices for stuff and technology can be easily offensive. And I think that Apple is looking to try and do is almost Hunger Game levels of offensiveness in an age of austerity around the world. It's yeah. And Bob's talking about they sold 77 million iPhones. I think you're looking at probably around 4 million iPhone sales, as 4 million Android sales every few hours, every half day. It's minuscule in comparison to the Android sale. Not even worth talking about.
Yeah, 660 manufacturers versus one.
Yeah.
It's a moot point.
No. It's not a moot point. It's fact. You're right. Absolutely, I'm wrong.
I just think, though, nobody's getting you to buy it. No, nobody's asking you to buy it. I think the people who buy it love it. I generally do, and I was just wrote in the chat room that, you know, yeah. It's my...
You need to talk to GB Redneck, mate, because he says it's a piece of shit. He friggin' hates it. And he, all the Bluetooth products that he's got aren't working with it. I was listening to him on a Bluetooth headset this morning, and I was like, sorry, dude, I can't hear you. You're like a Dalek. And he switched over to the AirPods, and it worked fine, because the Bluetooth is not connecting properly. I've taken a picture with his iPhone and a picture with my iPhone, and I'm sorry, but it's not done any better. It's just post-processed differently. It's like an HDR type thing, which is just bollocks. There's a lot of issues with the phone itself. And then you add in stuff like the fact that the HomePod is out and released late. It hasn't come out with all the features. There's features coming later in the year. That's not Apple. That is not Apple at all.
They're definitely getting too big to move at a normal pace. They're getting so big that they can't be agile like they used to be. And that sucks. Can I ask everybody not really a non-Apple question, but a kind of Apple-related question? What is it that you love that you know good and well you spend way more than the value of the thing that you quote-unquote love? Like, for me, it's sneakers, right? But, like, outside of Apple, what else do you have this, like, at all costs, I'm buying it no matter what?
Well, that's an interesting thing because I will quite happily buy good quality coffee and I like my whiskey. And I buy decent whiskeys. And I have stopped buying a lot of Apple products now. I haven't bought an Apple product for a long time apart from the AirPods. And it's just, I don't see the point. I find them, the ones that I have are perfectly good for a start. If they broke down, would I buy another one? In terms of my iPad, yes, I definitely would. In terms of my AirPods, in a heartbeat, it's the best product that I've made in the last 3 years, as far as I'm concerned. And if my Thunderbolt monitor here broke down, would I buy another one? Nope, not a chance, because I don't do one. Would I buy a Mac Pro? No, I wouldn't, although I love this machine. There's a lot of Apple products I wouldn't buy again and replace. Would I buy a new MacBook Pro? That's a really tough one, actually, because I am invested in Final Cut, so there's a need for me to have that. But could I squeak by without having a mobile version of Final Cut? Yeah, I probably could, actually. So, again, might not replace that if it went. And that's not me. When I started doing this show with you boys, Apple used to announce something, my credit card was sharpened. Ready to go. Night one.
That might also be an age
thing. I haven't fallen out of love with Apple products. I love Apple products. But I've fallen out of love with their marketing strategy and the way that they position themselves in the market, because I don't think they're paying premium or charging premium prices for products that are not in the same level of quality as they used to be. They are failing repeatedly, and they are also coming out with half-baked features that aren't complete because they're trying to make market when they didn't have a product in the first place. They announced a HomePod, and they couldn't provide it. They couldn't provide it that week, and they certainly couldn't provide it in the next few months. And when it actually came out, everything has got to come, all the cool stuff has got to come down the line because they haven't done it. That's not Apple. That's nothing. And that's a shame. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We've taken up the whole time arguing and bitching about cool stuff. We love UK2. They look after us. We couldn't do the show without them. I was talking to a guy called Damien Walmsley, who's a very new listener and who's joined the Slack room. He's contributing wonderfully to the Slack room. And he was saying, where do I get all the old shows? They're all on the network, mate. You just go to britishchatnetwork.com, and then you just click on Mac, big one, and just go to older posts, older posts, older posts. Keep going back. And all the shows that we've ever had of the Mac show are on there. Every single one. The very first one is still on that server, thanks to you, Kate. So check them out. Please support them because they support us. We get no money from them. They just give us the free online services that we utilize to bring you BTN. So they are well worth your shekel if there's a toss-up between them and someone else. Definitely. And the support is first rate. Top quality first rate. Do check. Hoya, I've got to go back in March now. It's not because they're too busy. They're too busy selling Uniku hand over fist that I've got to go back in March to get my bloody face scanned. Gutted. Absolutely gutted. So I'll be going down there soon. But again, please support Hoya. If you fancy Uniku, they're out there. The machines are out there and they are selling like hotcakes. There's some really cool designs in there. Ord Green is in there, which is a fantastic designer brand. So go and check them out. Find out where it is. Go out to podcast@hoya.co.uk and they'll tell you where to go and when. And make sure you tell them you got them from BTN and you'll get the BTN red carpet treat wherever you go. Right. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Docrus.
All right. So I kind of got a two-stager. One of it just you to check out for SNGs and the other one is handy, useful. The last sort of upgrade of Final Cut's been somewhat of a pain in the butt, but mostly because I'm starting this thing where I've been doing a lot of video, and the only thing that's driving me crazy about Final Cut is the speed isn't as fast as I feel it should be, and I don't even want to get into whether they crippled it so you want to buy a black iMac or not. So my dad bought a new camera, and he got DaVinci Resolve, and he said, hey, plug in this dingo, because that's what my dad calls a dongle. So I plugged in the dingo, downloaded the DaVinci Resolve. They have actually a free version, which is pretty incredible. And just to play with it, just so you can see, it's fast as lightning. It renders everything like 3 to 5x faster than Final Cut. It does basically the same thing, but where it really shines is in color correction. So because I don't know how to use it, what I have been doing, even with the free version, is editing everything in Final Cut, saving it, you know, lossless, open it up in Resolve, do the color correction, save it back, and then send it where it needs to go. And it's just been amazing. And again, you can try this for free. If you find yourself loving the speed of DaVinci, you can buy DaVinci for $299. Or if you buy a Blackmagic device, it comes with damn near everything they sell. So it's a really incredible program. And my dad, who used to be a DaVinci operator, he said this machine that is now this software. It used to be $1 million, and now it's a $300 program. And a quick one in that same light, this just came out at NAMM. It's called Shemps Audio Omni One Channel. It's a $50 plugin that gives you a channel strip with some of the best audio tweaking stuff you can get without having to have 90 different plugins running. You can run one, stick it on a channel, and do everything from compression, EQ, preamps, you can do some surround editing, some DSP processing, and it all in this really, really simple $50 plugin. I'll throw the link in. It comes from Waves Audio. It's going to go up to, I believe, $200 pretty soon. But for right now, it's hella cheap, and it's kind of cool.
Excellent, mate. Good one. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my MacBook to show you these things on, so I'll have to shove some graphics in Facebook. Sorry. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
I am picking something that somehow slipped under the radar. This is a series of games that I am a huge fan of. I probably picked every single one of them that has come out, and there is a new one out. It's The Room. If you guys are familiar with The Room series, The Room now has The Room Old Sins. And this is a beautifully rendered, if you like games like, you know, back in the day, Myst and stuff like that, this is right up your alley. It is a puzzle game. Basically, you're taken into these rich, beautiful 3D environments and given like objects, usually like a box or some sort of contraption that has all kinds of puzzles built into it. It's like puzzle boxes, and you have to try and figure out how to unlock the puzzle box and get different clues and different elements that will be used to work and manipulate other contraptions and unlock things. And it's just they're amazing. Every single one of them is amazing. If you've never played the Room series, this is the fourth version, I think. Go all the way back to the original Room and just play them all. They're just amazing. And it's you know, no in-app purchase, none of that stuff. It's, I believe, $4.99 US was the price on it, and well worth the money for iPad and I think they've done iPhone versions, but they really work best on an iPad, I would say.
So don't you find them a little bit boring?
No, I love them. I don't find them boring because at all.
I have played them, and you know when you watch a movie and somebody's going to die, and you get to a point and you think, I don't care because I'm so bored of this. I don't care who's going to die.
I do it with my kids. We try and, you know, we work together on trying to figure it out, and you see the little hints and clues to figure out, you know, you'll come up with a combination, and you've got to find in the book or on the wall, there's a hint as to what the combination is. And I think it's brilliant. I think they think they're great.
Cool. You know, when your kids are older, they'll say to you, oh, Dad, why did you have to play the bloody Room? It was so boring. And you'll say, because I enjoyed it. I don't know.
If you're into, like, you know, because I know another thing that people really like nowadays is escape rooms. This is just like that sort of thing.
He's winding you up.
Oh, the escape rooms here are busy as hell. Everybody goes to that crap. I've been wanting to go. I just
know he's winding me up. I'm just playing along.
You sound a bit bitter. You sound bitter at him.
Green, go and get a wife a cable, for Christ's sake. You're breaking up.
Am I?
Patrice, what have you got for us, mate? Good pick, Adam, by the way.
So, my pick is an app called All Trails. As some of you might know, I really like going on hikes, which is a little bit more difficult in Europe, at least in Koblenz during the winter. But while I was here in Phoenix almost 2 weeks, I wanted to go on a couple of hikes, and I was looking for a way to find good hikes, because there are a lot of spots around here that I thought I could go to. And that's when I discovered the All Trails app. It is free. There is an in-app purchase or a subscription if you need the advanced features, and those are, I think, things like you can download maps to your phone. So if you don't have any connectivity where you're going, it will still show you the map, and it will still help you navigate. Whereas usually it would need cellular connection to do that. What is also cool about the app is it actually allows you to record every hike. So you hit record it, hit record when you start. You can take pictures while you're there. It will track your time, elevation, distance, GPS, basically everything GPS. So it's really, really cool. It's easy to use. They have, at least around here, a million really cool hikes, all categorized by how difficult they are, how far they are. Certain things like, are they dog friendly? How much traffic is there on those trails usually? Stuff like that. So you can actually search for the hikes you want to do, and then just go there. And, I mean, it is awesome. And as I said, the base functionality, what I've been using, is actually free.
Excellent. Good pick. Is the in-app purchases telling you where the bears are? And things like that.
To avoid. I don't think so.
If you don't buy the in-app purchases, you're taking your life.
There are no bears
here,
so.
Yeah. No, I want rattlesnakes then. Oh, blimey, you're picky. Yeah.
I don't think they can track that.
Everyone's a bloody pedant this afternoon. Christ. It's a feisty Mac show. See, Wayne Greeny, you're never singing again at the start of the show.
You can't blame me on the negativity. Mine was a very positive start, I thought.
It was. Here's what we're going to do. Get your requests in for Greeny's section every week. We're going to have Greeny starting off with a song. Yeah, and in February. We'll just do February. We're not doing it all year. But every week, Greeny will learn a new song. So you need to get your song quotes in as fast as you can so that we can...
Why would you ruin Black History Month for me?
I can really...
Dean, this is Black History Month then, mate. You got to pick a song by one of the brothers that Greeny can sing for you on a ukulele.
Oh, God.
Have a think, man. Have a think. We'll get it off you at the end of the show.
Yeah, I can do it. I'll do it. I'll absolutely do it.
Yeah.
And it'll help me learn the uke as well. And or uke.
The rest of the month, we'll let the listeners pick the one. So Doc's picking for next week, for Black Month, History Month. And then the rest of you, you can have a vote. Just send one in. We'll pick the best ones.
Do I get a prize?
But you can't have Firestarter or something like that. It's got to be something you can actually play on a ukulele. Don't give us any crap. All right.
Yeah.
Muller's already voted Sound of Silence.
Yeah, that's a good one.
James, what's your cool thing?
Yes, my cool thing is, I feel like I've been really quiet today.
You have. You have, trust me.
It's kind of because I'm not agreeing with everybody, but I think it's kind of one of those ones that's... I don't think I'm going to win the fight. But basically, yeah.
Is that because you've got an iPhone 10?
Well, might be. Blade Runner 2049 got released this week on iTunes. It is a stonking film. I promise you, if you've not watched it, you need to get on it. It's $13.99. The extras alone are worth it. The model making, the behind the scenes, it's just incredible. And, you know, I saw it at the IMAX. It was incredible. And if you've got a good sound system, I tell you now, this will push your speakers out of the wall. I use a Bose soundbar with the Bluetooth subwoofer, which comes with the soundbar. And it's just lovely. I could just sit there eating my cornflakes in the morning and watching it over and over again. Blade Runner 2049, it's a steal. $13.99 on iTunes. Go and grab it. It's great.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. That when she's talking about going... accompanying Greeny with a clarinet at the back. So there you go. There's something to look forward to. And last but by no means least, Greeny, your cool thing is?
Well, I know it's not exactly Matt-related, but I use it a lot, especially for my own podcast. But, you know, when you go onto YouTube, you don't want the video, you just want the audio. And this works really well. It's absolutely free. So the URL is https://y2 as in the numeric mate.com. And it's brilliant. And so you can just download your audio and it downloads as an MP3. So then you can put it on your iPhone or whatever you want. And I use it all the time a lot. On British Mac, the bits I pinch, obviously totally open source or whatever, but it's really good. It's a great way of downloading audio for your own consumption.
How long have you been using this?
About 6 months, I think.
That's pretty good, because normally these things slowly get shut down by YouTube. They suddenly stop working, like get it and stuff like that, and keep it. They all got locked down.
Yeah, no, this one's a good one. Yeah, so it's y2 mate.com, and obviously only download sort of content that is. What's the word I'm looking for, Ewan?
I don't know.
Well, non-copyrighted. There it is. Well,
royalty free.
Yeah, royalty free. That's the word.
Creative
yeah.
Commons.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's a difference in them, but yeah. There we go. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Hands up, who likes Q-Lock?
What?
You've never used Q-Lock?
No,
but I don't.
Revolutionize your life, boys. Revolutionize your life. So here we go. Quadlock is a system whereby you buy an iPhone case, and on the back there is a little raised section. It's very subtle. It doesn't really add too much width to your phone at all. And it's got a little socket. And then you buy devices, so you can get a car mount where Quadlock goes in, and you can get little wall mounts you can screw into the wall where Quadlock goes in. And then all you have to do is put your iPhone up to it and twist it on, and that's it. It sticks there. So you can put a bracket on the wall and turn it and stick it on the wall. This came out this week. Here you go. It's a quad lock.
Nice. So
the quad lock goes in the back of the phone here, like that. Yep. There we go. So you put it in and line it up, and then you just twist it round, look, and it stays in. That's it. You can hold your iPhone up. There you go. Now, there's lots of ones. You can get one for your bike that goes on your handlebars. You can get loads of other different types. But this one is the first one they brought out for a tripod.
Wow.
So you put it on the top of your tripod, you twist your phone onto it, and then you can twist and lock it. And it actually, when you get to the locking point, it actually snaps into that locking point. So you can do it portrait, or you can twist it and do it landscape. And it sticks on your tripod. That's pretty useful. Yeah, it's really useful. And what's even better is if you've got a magic arm, because the magic arm has got a tripod connection, you can then put the magic arm onto something and then just have this thing looping around. You've got complete flexibility. And I use magic arms an awful lot on my camera for holding this in the right position. And it's a pain in the ass because you've always got to find something to adapt to hold this. And they're usually those closey clamp ones on springs. Yeah. And it's always falling out. But now I've got this. I just clamp it, turn the magic arm over like that, and the teleprompter I've got sits right over the lens and just keeps running. So there you go. And if you want to do teleprompting, Paratap, that's the one to use. But I'm over the moon. I've got this now. Massive difference.
Yeah, I remember them at Macworld, right? The one before the last and the last Macworld, they had all kind of cool stuff. And one of them was a case just like that. It had the quad lock for the motorcycle because that's where, you know, they tend to pop off from the vibration and the car. But they also had a cool one that you could... You can also use that exact hole in the back to open the brew.
Yeah, and if you go to some of the 3D printing sites, there's actually some people that have created, probably without license, and you take your life in your own hands, but they've created quad lock stuff that you can use. I did one with I had a bracket here that just like snapped into a key stand on the train and stuff. So quad lock, I love quad lock. I'm heavily invested in quad lock. Love it to bits.
Cool.
Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK and on this lovely network a couple few times a month, and then on solid.fm. That's the home of all of my podcasting creatory stuff.
Excellent, mate. And just confirm to the listeners who write to me and tell me that we've fallen out that we still love each other.
They're high.
Yeah. Where's Adam?
You can find me MacCast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. MacCast.com is the website, and MacCast on your favorite social media.
Excellent. Thank you. Patrice, where are you, sir?
Well, right now a lot on airplanes, but to be honest, you can actually find everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Okay, mate. Brilliant. James, where would you be?
Hey, just get me on there at James Rickards. That's RICKARDS. And that's neat.
Yeah, say it again because it all broke up when you said it.
Did it really? It's just Twitter at James Rickards. I kind of post the odd thing there. So that's where I am for now.
And before we go back to Greeny, Doc, what song are we picking for Greeny to sing in commemoration of Black History Month?
Benny King, because it's one of my favorite songs and one of my favorite movies. So
why are you giving it
Benny
to Greeny
King,
then?
Stand By Me.
You want Benny King, Stand By Me. There we go. There's your challenge, Greeny. Yeah.
Okay, bring it on. I'll do it.
In commemoration.
And it's not Benny with the Y, it's Ben space E.
Benny King. King,
his real name is Benjamin Nelson, but that's a different story.
So next week, there will be an unrivaled edition of Stand By Me by Greeny. And the rest of you, if you've got a classic that you think Greeny needs to belt out at the start of the Mac Show through February, there's your chance. Get right in.
You know, I never signed in for this.
Yeah, you did. Shut up, Greeny.
I did my one-off delivery.
Shut up, Gleanery. You love it. You're a right limelight grabber, you are, mate. You really fancy
it. You're
committed
now.
He loves it.
You do. You're sitting there. I bet you had a stiffy when you were singing that one, didn't you? See? You knew everyone was watching. So, Greeny, where can we get a hold of you?
You can find me this week singing Benny King.
Repeatedly. Shitting yourself.
Repeatedly. Virtually every single day until I get it right. But if you get bored of that, you can find me on BritishMac.com. BritishMac.com.
Excellent. Windrider has pointed out that Quadlock stuff is on Amazon. Yes, it is. That's where I get it all from. But I thought it was iPhone, but it's not. There's all the other Android stuff and that kind of thing is available as well. So they go for it. Brilliant. My name's Ewan Rankin. I'm a photographer here in Birmingham. You can get me at British Tech on Twitter for us, at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. And we'll be back again next week. We'll have the usual crowding. We're an hour later on the live show. We won't be recording until 5 o'clock, but Batwench will be here and Drew will be here and Muller will be here and we'll be having alcohol, proper alcohol, not alcohol-free gin and tonic. And then the big show will be going on after that almost straight away. So there you go. Big show's at 8 p.m. tonight. Until then, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Cheers, boys. Oh, have you been swigging it or just out of a glass?
So we're going at 9 a.m. next week.
Oh, that really has got me the shivers. Yeah, we're going an hour later than whatever you are today.
All right.
What was that last thing you drank that caused that face?
Porter, alcohol-free porter.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Take like Cavonia cough medicine. Well, just dial in on your phone. Oh, just give us a report from the Mac store then. And if you get back,
So the store doesn't open until 10. We'll be starting at 9 a.m. So we'll be starting before the store even opens. It's just a bummer. I won't be able to give you an unboxing.
Well, just
I'll do the show and then I'll pop over there to get my speaker.
Oh, bummer. Oh,
yes. All right, guys. I gotta go.
We can do it from the phone. We can try it from the phone. I can try and dial in from the phone and we can do a live.
Let's do a live thing. That'd be cool. You can unbox it in the store. That'd be awesome. Do it. Next week.
I'll go and cut chicken.
Live unboxing. All right, mate. Go cut chicken.
All right.
See you all, guys. Thank you.